This week's Torah Way has been sponsored Le'ilu Rabbi Shmuel Chanoich Ben Gershon Zecher Tzadik Livrocha.
Kof Bar Cheshvan, Monday the 5th of November, Bobby Yonis and Hughes, Loshna Kodesh, Mother Tongue.
Good morning. I'd like to invite you to consider some very perplexing Gemaras this morning that leave one, at first glance, utterly baffled. The Gemara in Megillah, Yud Ches Amud Aleph, talks about whether we can read the Megillah b'sirugin. And the Rabbanon apparently didn't know what that word meant until the maidservant of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, who appears to be somewhat of a linguist, helps them understand what Seirugin meant. When she said to the Chachomim, until when will you enter the Beis HaMidrash, Seirugin, i.e., why do you not come all at once? You're coming in dribs and drabs. They understood that that's what Seirugin meant. Can you read the Megillah with pauses, intermittently? Gemara says also in Rosh Hashanah, this is Chof Vov on the base. In Mishlei, there's a posuk, the phrase in which says, Salsaleho Usrimemeko. Salsaleho. What does that mean? The Rabbanon didn't know. They were stumped, baffled. Until one day they heard the handmaid of the household of Rebbe say to a man who was curling his hair, how long will you be mesalsel with your hair? So therefore the posuk meant, turn it over, comb it over, i.e. learn Torah in depth, usroimameko, and it will elevate you. Another posuk in Yeshaya, the Tetesio b'matate ashmeit nu'um Hashem tzuvukos. They didn't know what the Tetesio b'matate meant until the hand servant, the maid servant of Rebbe, was carrying a broom in the house of Rebbe and gave it to someone else and said, here, take the tatita and tati the house. Doesn't mean that the father should sweep the house necessarily, but take the tatita, take this broom and sweep the house with it. And then they knew the pshat in the posuk was, "B'teitisi b'matati Hashmeid." Hashem is going to destroy Bavel like someone who sweeps away the dust and the dirt. There's another final piece of that Gemara. The Gemara tells us the Rabbanan didn't know another word in the posuk. Hashleich Yehovcha al Hashem v'hu yechal kalecha. Cast Yehovcha on God, and He will feed you. They didn't know what Yehovcha meant until an Arab merchant told Rabbi Barchana, take your Yehov and cast it on my camel. And at that moment they learned that Yehovcha means your burden. So some learn that Rebbe's maidservant may have known these words, not from Lashon HaKodesh necessarily, but she had experience of the world as a trusty maidservant, and in foreign languages these words were commonplace, and she knew what they meant. And therefore she could help the Chachamim as a walking, talking lexicon. And indeed, the Arabic farmer or merchant who helped to understand the word Yehovcha is also using Arabic to explain the Pshat and the Pasuk. There's an even more disturbing Gemara, Rabbi Yisrael, I want us to consider. We put these things on every day. The Tefillin Shel Rosh. The Gemara wants to know, in Sanhedrin Dalad Amud Beis, how many parashiyos we have in the Tefillin Shel Rosh. Rabbi Yishmael says, I'll make you a calculation. It says Toitafois three times in the Torah. Twice it's Chosar, implying a singularity, so that's one and one. And the last one is a Vov before the final Sof. Toitafois, which implies the basic, you know, plurality of two. So 2 plus 1 plus 1 equals 4. Therefore you get 4 parashas in the Tefillin Shel Rosh. Rabbi Akiva said, you don't need to do such gymnastics. I'll tell you why Toitafois we have four parashas in the Tefillin Shel Rosh. Because Tot, in the Lashon of Kaspi, a Coptic language probably from Egypt, the word Tot in that language means 2. And the word Fois, or Fot, in Afriki, an ancient dialect of Northern Africa, means 2. So Toitafois is 2 and 2 in these foreign languages equals 4. So the word intrinsically, the word Toitafois intrinsically implies and connotes 4. And that's how we know we have Dalad Parashas in the Tefillin Shel Rosh. The kasha is, how on earth can we look at Goyish of foreign languages for Pshat Im Sukim? In the Torah itself, we're finding out what these words mean by looking at Goyish languages. It seems absolutely absurd. How can one take something which is basically meaningless, and that will be the reference book to understand our holy Torah Kadosha? What's going on? So with all these Gemaras, I think we need an approach. And the approach I found, with enormous Hatzlocha, looking in the Margolius Ayom, a beautiful commentary on Masechet Sanhedrin, that goes into this Gemara about Totefois that we just explained. He brings the Pirush Agodos L'Rabbeinu Yisrael, and he says, let's examine another story. Bigzan and Seresh, at the time of the Megillah, they're chatting to each other in earshot of Mordechai. And they're plotting to kill Achashverosh. They said, from the day Achashverosh came, we have not slept. He's been so troublesome. Let's put some poison in his bowl so that he'll die. Rav Yochanan says that the reason why they weren't worried about Mordechai overhearing them, apparently they could tell that he was there, they thought this is a Yehudi, he's not going to understand our language. They were Tarsim, from Tarsus, and they spoke Torsi. And they didn't realize that Mordechai would understand their language. Why did Mordechai understand their language? Because he was on the Sanhedrin. And to get into the Sanhedrin, there were strict rules. You have to know 70 languages in order to qualify as a member of the Sanhedrin. So Mordechai knew 70 languages, including Torsi. Now, Rabbeinu Ezreel, brought by the Margolius Ayom, says in a nutshell that it wasn't that Mordechai did A-level Torsi. He didn't do a degree in modern languages. Not even GCSEs. How did he understand the Torsi language, and how did the Sanhedrin learn 70 languages without going to college? He says, the secret is that the Chachamim had the Mafteach, the key to unlock all language by understanding the Soidus of the Torah. Within Lashon HaKodesh, within the sanctum of our language in the Torah, there are the secret codes that can unlock all language. And if you understand the Torah properly, you have that Mafteach, you have the Masorah that the Sanhedrin had, you could understand any word in any language. This is very, very radical thinking. He says that they could connect letters, Tsurufei Ha'osius, and they could manipulate the language in order to understand any tongue in the world. And that all languages are somehow hidden, ensconced for posterity in the Torah. The Shlach HaKodesh writes, embellishing upon this, he says, don't think the Torah writes in any language other than Lashon HaKodesh. But when Hashem created the world, there was only Lashon HaKodesh. And at Bovel, things began to change. If we look at the Psukim, at the end of Parshas Noach, Vahi kol ha'aretz sofo echos, the whole world was of one language. Rashi says that Lashon was Lashon HaKodesh, and the Baal HaTurim says, using the Kolel, that the gematria of Sofo Echos and Lashon HaKodesh are the same. It's out by one, but you can use the Koilel to include it. The Sofo Achas L'chulam, let's make a long story short. V'nov l'shom sfosom asher lo yishmu'u ish svasreyu. Hashem comes down and says, you're building a tower to rebel against me, and you've all got one unified communistic purpose. I will scatter you, and I'll make you not understand one another. So they came along, one asked for the bricks, and the other one gave him them. Stick and smashed him in the head, and they didn't understand each other, and they were dispersed throughout the entire globe. At that point, Babel comes into play. That's why it was happening in Bovel. And they couldn't understand their language. It was all a Babel to them. And that's how Hashem destroyed their evil plot. At that point, these languages come into existence. Now, we asked, how can you understand Pshat in Totefois? From Lashon Kaspi, Tot, and Lashon Afriki, Fot. How can non-Jewish languages shed light upon our holy language? So the Shlach HaKodesh concludes. Tot and Fot or Fois, however they pronounced it in those days, are not foreign languages. They're not foreign words. They're Lashon HaKodesh! But they became drafted into the non-Jewish languages after Bovel. That really there are words. They're Totefois. Totefois is in the Torah. But that was scattered and lost and drafted into these languages and lost until we could retrace them. Rabbi Akiva had the key to unlock it. and said Pshat and Tota Foses, 2 and 2. And therefore, the meaning of these words in foreign languages can indeed give us Pshat in our own Torah HaKadosha. And the Malbim adds an amazing thing. He says, much of Lashon HaKodesh is still lost in the sea of the non-Jewish languages. And if you look carefully enough, you'll be able to spot them. And this morning, I'd like to invite us to consider how we might put on our spectacles to unlock all language. So we've established a link between Lashon HaKodesh and foreign languages through this Margolius Hayom and the Shlo. On Shabbos, I spent a lovely day in Queens, New York. This was before Sandy. Well, it wasn't so Sandy. Absolutely. And I was sitting on Shabbos lunch, and the host tells me this theory that he had, and it blew my mind and changed the way I look at every single letter, every single word, every single sentence in the Torah ever since. He said that when Hashem made new languages at Bavel, it wasn't Yesh Me'ayim. It wasn't Pshat that he made up new languages just like that. Rather, he took the pre-existing words of Lashon HaKodesh and he recoded them to reconfigure them to make new language. And if we trace the Shoresh back and untangle it, you'll get back to Lashon HaKodesh. And he gave me some examples, and they were too spooky to just throw away and discard. I had to take note. A word for world in Hebrew is Tevel. One of the words is Tevel. We say it in Aleinu. Tevel is world. So the root is Tevela. Tevel. If you change the oasis around and recode them, you can come up with Tevela, Tevela, Tevela. Welt. Welt in German, world in English. The word for word, davar. D-V-R. Change it. V-R-D-Word. Wort in German, word in English. Let's take the word for heavy. Kovet. K-V-D. Change it around to V-K-D. Wucht. Wichtig in German is weighty in English. We don't pronounce the ch. We have the G-H. We have the G-H, weighty. The word for shark in Hebrew is korish. Korish, switch it around, shark. Dalaf is flood or flowed. Dalafa to full of duh. Nega, nuga, which is an affliction. Change around, nuga to agana, agony. The same thing shows. And the most touching one, which my wife enjoys the most because she's involved in this mitzvah once a week, hadlokas aneiros. What's the word to ignite or to kindle? Balak. Lahadlik. D-L-K. T-L-K. D-L-K-T. Licht. Light.
The same called the word has a lot of people.
Yeah. He discusses direct, not the recoding necessarily, but the direct examples, which I want to come on to now.
But the Hayrat. To marry. Hayrat. Hayrat.
Ah, right now.
Culture.
Absolutely. Culture. So this goes on and on and on. Actually, there are many direct words which you cannot miss. Who's ever said the word derech and not thought of direction? Who's ever said busha and not thought of bashful? The word, even we're looking at sources and shorishes of words. Shorish and source is the same word. Halbana, lahalbin is to whiten. Albino is a direct descendant of that, because that's the whitening. Ma'aras ha-machpela in this week's parsha, where all the zugois are buried. Right? It's the place where all the couples are buried. Kefela, machpela, is from kofel. That means two. That's where the couples are buried. Rechush, riches. Another one I love. Whenever you're davening like this, think of this. The word to weigh is lishkoil. Right? Shekel comes from that, because you weigh money, and that's how money got its name, shekel. That's the same word as scale. Because when you put something in a scale, you're weighing out money, that's the connection, but also it goes back and forth, and that's how shokel comes in, because that's the same thing.
I'm not sure I understand what you're trying to say. Are you saying that there are evil words in English language?
I'm not saying a generalization. No, not at all. I'm just saying that there are too many examples for it to be just a bit of luck. There may be something very much to the Shlo and the Malbim and the Margolius Yom's explanation of Toitofois. That many influences of Hebrew on other languages. Behema, Bohemian, Eretz, Earth. And why do we say love is always captured by the picture of a heart? Love is Lev. I could carry on, but I'm in a hurry, which is Mehera. Yes. But we'll come to that. In fact, some words are the opposite. So you'll have a word in Hebrew, and the same word will mean the opposite in English. For example, novel. Novel, Brishas HaTorah, means someone who's disgusting, who's despicable. They call that noble, and they get the Nobel Prize. There are some other jokes that I prepared. Russia is one of them, which country I may be going to soon, for not a too nice purpose. Russia and Russia, how could you forget that? And Amrika, I don't want to pick on the Americans, but you could break down America to Amrika, a nation of emptiness. So we've seen a relationship between Lashon HaKodesh and foreign languages, and now I'd like to focus on Lashon HaKodesh itself. So we've seen the connections. But now I want to show you the fingerprints of Hashem and divinity in the meaning and the kedusha of our language. And the purpose of this is that whenever we open a sefer, whenever we analyze our language, it will be the same. We have to see the chokhmah in every ois, v'chol mila v'mila, in every word of our mama loshen. There's a chokhmah waiting to be discovered. If I say in Hebrew, I speak, what is that word? How would you say, I speak? Ani medaber. If we take medaber, let's see if we can find something. The mem at the beginning always means from. So mem is from. M. Dalet, if you spell it out, is deles, which means door. The third letter, treat like you did the M, the mem, which is base, which is in. From, door, in. And the last word of medaber is the resh. When you spell it out, is the same as roish. Resh Aleph Shin. So, medaber, the word to speak, I speak, is from the door in the head. What's the door in the head? The wide open peh. That's the mouth. So the whole essence of medaber is the location of where you speak from. Odom. Let's take two words. I want to take Odom and Emes. Odom, the Gemara Nida Lamed Aleph Omed Beis, teaches there are three partners needed to create an Odom. Any human being. The mother, which is Aim, father, which is Av, and a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Now, what is Av in Gematria? 3. Aim is 41. So 41 and 3 is 44. And what are you left with? 1. Hashem Echad. Ushmai Echad. That's how you get Odom. And the first human being, it says in the Zohar, Odom Arishan, actually. Yep.
Odom is Gematria 45.
Yeah, Odom is Gematria 45, Av is 3, Aim is 41, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Echad. So, we also see Odom is also an acronym for Odom, Dovid, and Mashiach, because we know that the Zohar says that the neshamas of those three are connected. Of course, Odom Rishon gave 70 years of his life to provide Dovid, a Melech, with 70 years. Emes, from birth till death, that is the truth of every person. No one can escape birth, and no one can escape death. If you look at the word MS, you can read the first two letters and the last two letters, which is Aim and Mace, because mother and death are true to every person. And something which shocked me the most is that Hashem spoke to us at Mount Sinai. Har Sinai, he gives us the Decalogue, the Aseret HaDibros. The first conversation with the Kodesh Baruch Hu to Klal Yisrael as a nation. What's the first word of that conversation? Anoichi. Aleph. Then we have the Torah Shabbat Peh. The first Mishnah begins, Mei Mosai Koirin Eshema Ba'argan. Begins with a Mem. So, the Seres HaDibrish begin with an Aleph. The Mishnah begins with a Mem. And what's the first word of that Gemara on the first page of Brachas? Tona. Aleph, Mem, Tof, Emes, V'nosan Lonu Toiras Emes. The seal of Hashem's Torah is truth. But it goes more than this. We're coming up towards Hanukkah. The Sefer HaTorah, we know, can be written in two languages. It's kosher in Lashon HaKodesh, obviously. But so too, you can write a Sefer Torah in Greek, in Lashon Yevani. And I was always perplexed and tantalised by this concept. I mean, after all, the Greeks were hashkophically in opposition to us. There was no seeming connection. How can the Sefer Torah, that holy, holy scripture, be written in a language that belongs to people who would get the Nobel Prize? Noach had an ideal that Shem and Yophis would work in partnership. Shem is obviously the spiritual side, which is, that's why Shem is the neshama of the word neshama. The middle two letters is Shem. The essence of the internal world, the people who are going to bring Ruchnius into the Welt or the Tevel, are Klal Yisrael, Shem. Semite comes from Shem. That's where we're from. And who are going to perfect the outer core, so the outer layer, the shell of the world? That's going to be Yophis, because that's obviously Yophi is beautification. So they were the experts in physical beauty, and we were the experts supposed to be in Ruchnius, in internal beauty. And these two nations would come together and perfect the world. That was Noach's dream. So the special status afforded to the Greek language in Maseches Megillah, that you can write a Sefer Torah in Lashon Yavani, was based on this plan of Noach to have the Greeks as the beautifiers of the outer shell of the world, to allow Klal Yisrael to be the driving force of the internal Ruchnius world. And I thought, it's so apt. Not one hashkofa, not one internal concept of the Torah can be Greek. Our hashkofas are diametrically opposed. Not 181, not 179 degrees, 180 degrees opposed. But the outer shell of the Torah, the Sefer Torah, with its parchment, with its ink, that can be in Lashon Yavani. Because that's where they're Baal Batim. That's where they're in control. Because they control the outer world. So that's kosher. But not one philosophy or idea can be from Greece. That is totally the internal world of Klal Yisrael. And I was looking at the shyness of the difference between Greece and Klal Yisrael. And I came across a vort by Shimshon David Pinkus, who says the following. What's the word for Greek? Yovon. Greece is Yovon. We are Tzioin. That's Mishkan Kavidecho. That's where we are. That's the name of Klal Yisrael. What's the difference? Tzioin and Yovon. Yovon is Yud Vav Nun. Tzioin is Tzadik Yud Vav Nun. The difference? Righteousness. The Tzadik. That's the only difference between us. You can barely tell us apart. They can have a Sefer Torah written in Lashon Yavani. And it can be in Lashon HaKodesh, but they'll never have that tzaddik. That's the difference between Tzion and Yovon, for Pinkus, Moridik. In fact, in Yeshiva, we once came into Shacharis, and in Shari Chesed, Midrash Shmuel, and the Aron HaKodesh had a massive gaping hole someone had drilled through during the night. There's some Habava Machteres had come in and stolen the Sefer Torah, which was, I believe, the Rosh Hashiva's copy, which he dedicated to his father. And this Sefer Torah was missing for weeks. Actually, at the end, it was returned with an apology note, an apology letter next to it, in Shari Chesed. Mm-hmm. But I remember the Rosh Hashiva, Rabbi Yomim Moskowitz, addressing us during the time when it was still lost, this Sefer Torah. And people said to him, aren't you concerned? Aren't you worried the Sefer Torah has been taken away? That's such a holy thing has been taken. You must be beside yourself with devastation. And he said, no. Every single day, when the neshamas of Klal Yisrael are being stolen from us, with assimilation, with intermarriage, with people not realizing their destiny and their connection and their ability in Torah, I'm going to cry and be devastated over some klaf. The neshama of Klal Yisrael is at stake. And really, this is a powerful story that shook the base medrash that day, and we all took our learning more seriously that day. So we've seen that these Gemaras, which tell us that Rebbe's maidservant was somewhat of a linguist, and Toitofois can be deciphered through looking at Tot and Fartin and Kaspi and Afriki, and the whole Pshat of the Margolius Ayom, to discover the Yisoid, that with the proper key, with the Mafteach, you can unlock all language. That's the secret of Mordechai, that's the secret of the Sanhedrin, that's how they knew all the languages. And we've given some practical examples of how we can decode the Shorish based on that Shabbos I spent in Queens. And we've taken that through to actually reappreciate the power and the subtlety of every ois and every word in our language, in Lashon HaKodesh, which every single word has meaning. Every single word has a secret to it. And not only that, it can unlock the key to all language. That's how, perhaps, the Be'er Heitiv of Moshe Rabbeinu, is that he explained the Pirush Alem B'Shivim Loshim, says Rashi. He explained it to them in 70 languages because he also held the key. He also had that Mafteach that the Sanhedrin inherited. And we've had a perspective coming into Chanukah as we edge closer ever more to the difference between us and the Greek philosophy, which can also be unlocked through the power of language, through that tzaddik, that missing tzaddik they don't have that we have. In Mitzvah Shem, we should take Hisoyeris and inspiration from our language, the true Mama Lashon. Shoyach.